Almighty and eternal Father, as we come into thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth, it is with hearts filled with thanksgiving that we have thy assurance that thy kingdom is an eternal kingdom made up of people and of nations, and the spiritual center of which is thy church, that thy kingdom can never be destroyed, shall never be left to other peoples, but shall endure forever, shall accomplish its objectives, shall conquer the power of darkness, till every knee shall bow and every tongue shall proclaim that thou art Lord. In this hour of tragedy and in this hour of crises, we come before thee with faith, faith in thy foreknowledge, faith in thy power to sustain this great nation, faith to realize that in this hour the powers of darkness and the forces of evil shall not carry out their activities to conclusion, recognizing that our president was struck down by the hand of an assassin, a Marxist, an enemy of thy kingdom. We pray, our Father, that you shall grant unto thy people an awakening, that such spiritual force shall be released in this nation, that communism and its agents will find no home nor room to stay within this great country. We pray, our Father, that as we come before thee, recognizing the tremendous impact of this hour, that out of these events, America shall come to a great awakening. We pray at this time for the family of the president. And in their bereavement, we pray also that they shall be strengthened by the process of their faith. But in these instances, we also pray that there shall emerge out of these events progress to our nation, that shall cause this nation to be stronger, for this nation to catch with a clearer vision what is the deep strategy behind the powers of darkness that would destroy thy kingdom. In this hour, we pray, as all Christendom prays, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, Father, we pray as we meditate upon these conditions and the situations through which we pass, that you will open up our eyes to the patterns of darkness, that we might see also the great blueprint of thy plan, the mighty light of thy kingdom, and be assured of the defeat of these forces that would destroy. Help us, our Father, with thy word to alert ourselves to these conditions, and in this hour, say, as we say, thy will be done. May thy glory and thy spiritual blessing rest upon thy children in thy name. Amen. Tonight we are speaking on the subject of the time of Jacob's trouble. When we announced that we were going to speak on this subject, one would say, little could we know the course of events that were to take place. However, we gave a prophetic preview in 1963, in which we told you of the seriousness of this hour, even of this very time through which we have passed, and the strange measures that were in the sky and how they would affect even the presidency of the United States. But let us turn for a moment to the book of Jeremiah in the 30th chapter and in the 7th verse, and we read, "Alas, for that day is great, and there is none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but out of it comes these words, and he shall be saved out of it." It is the time of Jacob's trouble. We turn also over to the book of Daniel concerning its declarations concerning Michael, the archangel. And this, of course, is the most significant declaration because Michael, the archangel, is referred to in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations as the power that led the mighty hosts of heaven and the forces of God in the defeat of the dragon, of the powers of darkness. There in that 12th chapter of Revelation, in all Bibles, Protestant and Catholic alike, identified as none other than Lucifer and the Luciferian forces, how Michael the archangel with the great armies of the heavens threw out Lucifer from the heavens, how he was cast to the earth and continues his warfare against the race of the people that have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we point out that in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, it tells us that at that time, at what time? At this time, which we have just referred to in the 30th chapter of Jeremiah, which is referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble, it says at that time, Michael shall stand up, that great prince that stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as there never has been since there was a nation, even to the same time.
And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every last one whose name has been written in the book. Now we come to the vast pattern of divine revelation, that as to the household of your race, the children of God's kingdom, the people that he calls his Israel, made up of the entire Adamic race, that all Israel shall be saved as it is written, and that your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. Now within this instance we turn to this time of Jacob's trouble. Every great white Christian nation on the face of the earth today makes up the house of Jacob. Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic, these are the peoples whose history and whose identity are identified as the household of God. These are the peoples whose testimony were to be the testimony of Jesus Christ. These are the people we know today as Christian nations. We are in a time of deep trouble. We shall discuss before we are through things which Jesus said concerning this time of trouble, that we might understand and appreciate some of the situations that are thus involved. Now we look upon the world and upon the nations of God's kingdom. Why is it that we are in a time of deep trouble? Basically, first, because the powers of darkness and the forces of evil are seeking to destroy Christian nations. They're seeking to engulf and swallow them up till they no longer have their freedom or their independence, subordinating them to economic, political, and social control, and taking the balance of power away from the wise, the technological superior, and the spiritually ordained children of the Most High, to transfer this to areas of internationalism in which the dark and the Asiatic areas of the earth, under all kinds of pagan doctrines and world communism, would outvote, outmaneuver, and outcontrol the peoples of these United States and other Christian nations 6-1. Recognizing today, all the students of world situations know that we are only 1/6 of the world's population if we compute all the white Christian nations on the face of the earth. I point out to you then in this design that Christ unveiled to John in the book of Revelation the great danger of this hour. He told him about this pattern of world government. It's designed through its manipulation to control areas of economy and areas of world finance, eventually even seeking to take over the entirety of government and the entirety of the structure. This is constantly told to us as one world. People talk about the vast vision and the great program, and we have been warned about this subtlety in this design to make it appealing unto men, while actually it's a plan for a great trap. Now, under these instances, the thing that makes this a time of Jacob's trouble are the powers of darkness and the forces of evil that are thus involved. Involve great masses of people, tremendous political strategies, and cunning and evil designs. And under these patterns of strategy and under this design, they would either accomplish two things: the conquest of our nation from within by a strategy of communism and by placing in places of high positions of authority those that will carry out these objectives, or by suddenly betrayal, outmaneuver us in the areas of our ability to defend ourselves, disarming us if they can, striking with suddenness, or turning all the hordes of communism upon us. They would seek to fool us with the story of divisions between them, or struggles between one communist country and another. But do not be taken in by these patterns, for I assure you that in this problem, in the time of Jacob's trouble, that the powers of Antichrist would like to destroy and wipe out Christian nations. Now, I do not find the terrible events of this week unrelated to these events. I point out to you that there is a great feeling of distress that in these United States and in this great country, a president of these United States could be struck down by a Marxist assassin. There are those today who in their discussion of these events are trying to give a guilt complex to our entire nation. They're trying to turn in areas of emotion a process of political strategy. They are attempting, under the impact of these events also, to have a quick passage of all of the things the president stood for. They are asking us to accept as though in eulogy that all the things that he was a part of or stood for were the greatest things for the development of all mankind. I point out to you that in this instance, the Marxist hand that struck him down was representative of sinister power, and I point out to you that it may well have been out of two-pronged design, a strategy which they have long been working on. There is always a process which I would point out to you and which becomes effective even in this time. We all of us abhor all things that relate to this kind of violence, the assault upon any official of our nation, or the use of assassination, the processes of those that constitute Christian Americanism that are awake when they oppose something or when they are against it, use the ballot box and not bullets. I want you to know also that in this design, that from the very moment that the assassin's bullet struck down the president, a even more sinister design immediately comes to light. All over everywhere, a hue and cry against the right wing and right wing extremists, as they like to call them. Now, what is and who constitutes the right wing? In majority, it constitutes a great mass of awakened Christian Americans who have become aware of the deadliness of the world government track, who have become aware of an unprecedented number of the enemies of our faith and our nation that are in high positions inside of our society. A great number of these people are awake. They're awake all over. Many of them are Bible students. And they, because of their awareness of this situation, have stood in opposition against the trend. There is this historic right in this country for a man to be a Republican or to be a Democrat or within the structure of these parties to oppose the things which he felt was not good for America. I assure you that what they call the extreme right are the peoples in these United States who are against the encroaching program of socialism, the increasing hand of communism in our country. They are not assassins, but they are also aware that an intense design that might even seek to overthrow us from within is on. They would be willing to fight and die for America and for its Constitution. They are people who are dedicated to the preservation of our Christian civilization and also are now beginning to become aware that it is more than an assault politically upon us. It's an ethnic assault that would like to destroy our racial self-respect and end in a mongrelization of society that would wipe the technological and spiritual superiority of your race away for all time. It is a strategy of the enemy to battle for the mind, to use semantics to accomplish this. And in this process, the design is to try to give today to all Christians that are opposed to communism, that are opposed to socialism, a guilt complex. To try to call them haters because they're opposed to evil, even though God refers to the fact that he hates evil. We, my friends, are not against people as individuals. We are against the process of communism and world socialism and all the strategies of Antichrist that are trying to destroy our great nation. In the instance of the pattern of these events, I point out that there's a lot of strategies which have been involved. One of those strategies is for the total disarmament of our nation. Another strategy is for the disarmament of the citizens of our nation in violation of the Bill of Rights. They're seeking to make it apparent by their proclamations that all of the people that are in the citizenry of our nation that are opposed to communism and all of them that might be armed because they possess the right to have these arms, many of them are sportsmen, many of them are target shooters, many of these people possess these arms to defend themselves in this turbulent hour, that they're a massive plot or they're conspiring to overthrow the government. My friends, I want you to know that nowhere in the area of what they call right wing, the Christian people of this country are not trying to overthrow this government. They are trying to sustain it. All too well we know the limit of the ability of law enforcement to cope with the vast numbers of conspiratorial forces that are at work in our society. All too well, we are able now to see the evidence of the inability of law enforcement supposedly operating at high efficiency to even protect the life of the President of the United States. I point out to you that in these instances, there was more than meets the eye. Again, I would explain to this audience tonight that we do not and cannot approve of many of the functions of the past President of the United States. And in this, we have opposed him as an individual, and where he opposes the foundations of our biblical standard, we have opposed him. We have not opposed him with hate. We have opposed him with opposition to what has transpired. I feel that in no past history has any president appointed more non-Christian socialists around him than was appointed by the past president when he took office. Now, someone said we shouldn't discuss this at this time. This is the time to challenge America to think and to think clearly, not to be carried away by emotion so that you have lost sight of what has transpired and what is involved. I want to relate this first to a definite design in action. Cut down by the assassin's bullet, the horror of the event reached America with speed. Instantly across ABC and other networks, Immediately they started to accuse the right wing. They talked about those that made up the right wing, and they started their attack. They attacked the Birchers. They attacked all kinds of organizations and institutions, and automatically Soviet Russia was starting to talk about how the right wing did it. They apparently had not anticipated that the assassin would get caught. In this same instance, I point out to you that right here in our city councilman, Jewesses like Rosalind Wiener and even Mr. Yorty, influenced by it, said, we're going to stamp this out. We're going to put the right wingers in. We're going to see they get mental health treatment. The right wing. Always the right wing. There is no middle road. You're either right or left. You're either hot or cold. Jesus said, if you're hot, neither hot nor cold, I would spew thee out of my mouth. You're either for Christianity and for Americanism, free from socialism and communism, or you're on the pinko side, and if you're in the middle, you're helping the left wing. I point out to you then that whether he was aware of it or not, and possibly not aware of the depth to which these appointees were going to try to carry America down the program of the new frontier that was not drafted by the brain of Mr. Kennedy. It had been drafted up by a whole group of Harvard New Frontier specialists working for a program of complete world government to subordinate these United States into a world government without the ability to defend itself. I can point out the late president's appointee, Mr. Rustow, who was also in line as one of the two men, he or Adam Yarmolinsky, that would have been appointed to take J. Edgar Hoover's place in the FBI. Neither one of these men were fit to polish the boots of J. Edgar Hoover. I point out to you now and read a statement again, which I feel is vital for this message, of Mr. Rustow. I am not convinced of the brilliance of executive selection. Mr. Rustow made this statement, and I now am reading a November report on this statement. It is the legitimate American national objective to see removed from all nations, including the United States, the right to use military force to pursue any of its interests. Since this residual right is the right of national sovereignty and the basis for the existence of a nation in the international arena of power, we therefore, in American interest and in the interest of all nations, wish to end all nationhood as it has been previously defined. You know what that is? That's treason reduced right down to one paragraph. I see a few agents here tonight. Write it down, but write it accurately, because this is going to 2.5 million people. In the instance of this situation, let's make it very clear. When men like this are selected to disarm these United States in crucial times, when Congress, pressured by so-called international do-gooders that threaten our security, passed $10 million program to finance the disarmament of these United States, while we're talking about an arms budget sufficient to defend us, while a design moves in these functions, we are in areas of danger. The very moment that the word went out of what transpired, they cried, therefore, for warfare against the right wing. Now, I think this is a typical and strange type of editorial. This happens to be from the Oceanside Blade Tribune. I'm going to read it to you. It was on the street right away on Friday. Sorrow and shame. How could it happen in the United States? How could it happen in the 20th century? With shock, with tears, with horror, America learns this morning of the assassination in Dallas, Texas, that murdered the President of the United States. How could it happen in the United States? How could it happen in the 20th century? There in the United States are those who hate. There are in the United States those who live on hatred and leaders who advance themselves by playing to hatred. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about people that love America, people that are patriots, people that don't hate anybody, but they love America and they don't want to see it destroyed by a lot of people by naivety letting rascals move into power. Now, there are in the United States, therefore, those who play on hatred, in our sorrow and wonderment, let us face facts. Let's remember Representative James B. Utt, congressman from this district, long ago ceased to exercise the right of his responsibilities to criticize the president. James P. Utt went around the country saying that Mr. Kennedy was a pathological liar. Utt preached hatred. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Congressman Utt is not a preacher of hatred. He has just declared various positions on facts that are in his hands. One of the last things that was said by Congressman Utt this very week was that there is no question about the deadliness of this hour. He said, upon the White House and in their hands, now dripping with blood, the blood of the DMs in the news who were murdered in the areas of Bitmen, where we knew about this ahead of time, did nothing to fulfill our responsibility to protect them, and had given tact assent to the overthrow. Congressman Utt wasn't preaching hatred. He was trying to alert America that something was sinister and something was wrong. I want you to know that in this editorial, it attacks Congressman Utt then as the hater. Let's remember the spreaders such as William K. Shearer, who suggested to this neighborhood that the president's political party was somewhat akin to communism and that liberals are to be feared, and the Kennedy administration was leading America towards a Sovietized state. Shearer is a minister of hatred. This is out of an editorial just a few moments after the announcement of the president's death. These are examples only for a mentality that must bear the responsibility for the murder of our president. We name them because they are known in our own locality, because the country has others like the Shearers and the Utts. The Walkers and the Governor Wallaces must accept the responsibility. The assassin of the president, whoever he was undoubtedly a simple-minded man of no morality, bearing no conception of his country or of the meaning of his country or of his role as a citizen. He is not so much to blame, however, as those who are to blame that stirred him, the Utts, the Shearers, the Welchers, the Birchers, the Negroes, and the leaders, the haters of Negroes and the leaders of Birchers. Therefore, these are the preachers of inflammation. These are the men who must now assume the responsibility in the pitiless light of America's shame. It was a little premature. We listened to this kind of program, we watched this kind of pressure, because we realized what was going on. And we knew that as this pressure came on, that they were going to try to harass and persecute the right wing. More than this, I point out to you that in this instance, while this was going on, there's a long history of events that have been transpiring. We are already telling America it's already too late to stop it. It's already reached every American city, and it's starting the greatest wave of reaction you ever saw among Christians. The battle against Christians, the battle against the right, is already on, and they're moving against churches and harassing members of congregations, and they're framing them to do it. Listen. The apprehension and identity of the assassin, a Marxist whose background is clearly identified with a pattern. Not enough instruction against communism inside of our armed forces. They discharge the Walkers for doing a yeoman's service. But what America needs, my friends, is to instruct every young man concerning the deadliness of this great and subversive program. Not to appease it, eradicate it. I point out that this young man came out of the service and he went to the Soviet Union. He went over with the intent to renounce his citizenship. He went over to serve as a communist in Russia, but he was more valuable to the communists as a citizen. It is far more easy for them to use him as such. And so it was not because they didn't want him, because he was undesirable. They sent him back because he was of more value to them. A Marxist citizen in America doing their bidding. And when he came to the State Department and said he wanted to go home, he was disillusioned. Your State Department put up the $400 and some odd to ship this man who would surrender his American citizenship back to the United States. Didn't take him long to prove what he was about. He was now the chairman of the organization known as the Fair Play Program for Castro. What do you mean, fair play for Castro? If Castro had gotten the fair play of Christian Americanism, we would have crushed him under Eisenhower's administration when he first raised his ugly head. Thank you. This, my friends, is just another head of the wing of the Antichrist, the powers of darkness, the forces of evil. I point out to you that engaged in this, he was not unknown to the country. He had been checked on at times, investigated at times. He had been on television. He'd been interviewed by the press. He openly made a point of his trying to gather people into an organization to assist the Castroites. In this instance also, he continued to show his hatred towards everything that opposed Castro. He continually was one supporting the communist position among all the areas where he went at all times. And I wonder what the FBI have to say for themselves, for they interviewed this man just a week before the president went to Dallas. Why wasn't this information communicated to the Dallas police concerning this dangerous man? If they thought it dangerous enough to interview him because of his communist association before the president arrived, then, my friends, they should have made sure that this man could not strike a deadly blow. They haven't the time, apparently, to do this, but they have time to harass Christians. One of them just clapped. Maybe there's some that are better than others, I don't know. I point this out to you tonight. I don't believe that they thought that he was going to get caught. You say, what do you mean? I'm going to show you a master plan of the designers of world communism. The master plan was to accomplish three more objectives. They have us in the U.S. They have us acquiescing to its program. They have us financing its world economic picture. They are having us walk down the road under the names of peace to disarmament. They're having us trust an area that has never been worthy of trusting in the Soviet Union. They're asking us to trust the United Nations also as a repository for our arms.
They're trying to make it necessary that we surrender them. And I would never trust any organization in which a great majority of its people, overwhelmingly by mass and number, are non-Christian, or a great block of our enemy is in that institution. I point out to you that in these instances, there have been bad advisors around our late president. So bad were a great number of these advisors that they tried to make a political issue out of invading the sovereignty of states, intervening with state rights. In one of the patterns of the last few years, we saw federal troops invading a sovereign state. In the midst of the political losses and activity, the scene has suddenly shifted a year ago last October to Cuba. I point out that under these instances, the information that caused this crisis was that the Soviet Union was placing missiles, large missiles, missiles powerful enough to hit Washington or New York or many of our cities in Cuba. The President of the United States had been informed about this. Men like Strom Thurmond and Congressman Ott and others had talked about it. Great numbers of our senators and congressmen had been informed. Intelligence knew about this. Washington was informed. And they chose to say there's no truth in it. The president got up to say there is nothing to it. And then under the stress of political upheaval, a problem and trouble, suddenly the whole picture changes, and we are on the brink of war. We're hurling military power towards Cuba. We're threatening invasion unless the missiles go. But the president had said we're not there. Maybe he had been misadvised while the rest of intelligent America and even the right wing knew about these things. I had discussed it in its relationship to prophecy from this platform while the president had said no. I point out to you now that in the course of the events that took place, one may talk about experience and also about naivety. Explain it how you will. When Mr. Khrushchev started to bargain with Mr. Kennedy started to bargain with the devil. In these instances then, they said they would remove missiles, and we said that we would guarantee that no country overthrew Castro in the Western Hemisphere. So we were guaranteeing our own enemy for the removal of missiles that were not removed to any great extent, and whose buildup has been increased as far as communism goes since that time. We, under the same agreement, pulled down the ring of our missiles that surrounded the Moscow and Russian orbit
And this, my friends, was a great victory for Mr. Khrushchev. But basically, we had guaranteed the perpetuity of the Castro regime. We have not removed the communist menace from Cuba. There is tonight more communist personnel from Russia and its other nations on Castro's Cuba than there was even at that hour of crises. But what I want to point out to you was that we had previously witnessed some disastrous situations. In the instance of a great number of these who had escaped from Castro's Cuba, we had trained these men. We had trained them with efficient military officers, the United States Armed Forces. We had coordinated their strike in secret against that island that they might overthrow Castro. It was the beginning of this week that the President of the United States in Florida called on the peoples of Cuba to overthrow Castro's regime. Advised by his advisors stirred in this policy, he calls for them to overthrow the regime of Castro. But it was only a little over 2 years ago that when those who wanted to overthrow Castro, trained by our services, coordinated with our flat tops and our air support, and after they had started out assured of this strength of American assistance to overthrow Castro, a order by this administration countermanded it, and those men died on the beaches under the machine gun fire betrayal in Castro's Cuba. I want to make this clear again. The life of the President of the United States is important to the peoples of the United States, but the life of every man dying on the beaches of Cuba by betrayal was vital to them and to their families, just as the DM and News life was vital to their country and to their families. It very well may be that the insidious unseen powers around the President did the directing and the controlling, that he himself was a victim to areas of ignorance and took his orders from behind the scenes. But by any situation, there had been a betrayal of Cubans, and the world knows it. Now you say, what was the pitch and what was the call? First, because it was politically a good soundboard. Secondly, because a master strategy wanted to completely disarm America, and this was the route. You say, how is that? Because there was a tact understanding behind the scenes in something that goes deep. So much is what I'm talking about, a tact understanding, that in the Los Angeles Times 3 weeks ago, there was a piece on this matter. What? That we would stir up a revolt against Castro, that Russia would step in to oppress it, and then Mr. Kennedy would have to line up the armed forces of America to protect the people being suppressed by the foreign power in the United States of the Soviet Union, that the battle lines would draw up, that the world would be shaking mighty missiles, we'd be on the edge of thermonuclear war, and then the United Nations would come forth as the savior to accept the sovereignty of military authority out of both nations' hands, to take over its arms, to proclaim that we've saved the world at the very brink, and now no longer shall any nations possess their arms. To solve this situation, we turn them over. Russia turns them over. And the world moves under a program of more complete control by world government. This was the story. This was the strategy. Even the Los Angeles Times knew about it 3 weeks ago. We knew about it. We knew about facets of it. And we had discussed this as one of the great strategies. Someone, did the President understand this? No one today can answer whether the President understood this strategy or not, but he was implementing it. And he who had blocked one invasion called for another one at the first of the week. But the Marxist may have got his signals crossed. He heard the call for uprising against Castro's Cuba, and then, without query, may have fired that shot. But after the events of today, I am more inclined to believe that he fired this shot with cognition of a whole lot that knew about it right at the very top. I point out to you that in these patterns of great danger, that if America had surrendered or did surrender its arms, the United Nations and Russia did the same, that her cages of arms in Red China alone are enough to reopen or recontinue any operation. The influence and control of those powers in the United Nations would reduce us to a socialist society ruled over by this power. There are those that say, look out for those that warred against the United Nations. Look out, they are haters. Not haters, my friend, just Americans on guard tonight. I just want you to reevaluate situations, to know where you are in this hour of crisis. The violence, the deadliness with which communists strike against their enemies is made quite clear. When they no longer feel that they can influence a man, many times they destroy him if they think they can make political gain out of it when they do. If they could destroy Kennedy and turn the government and all of its forces loose on patriots all over the country, this would be a double stroke. You may say, why would this development take place? There is little doubt today that in this control for a nation, the design is to create unrest, disturbance, and crises. Russia always likes to move in a period of crises. America is in turbulence tonight. We have a new president of the United States. President Johnson is prepared for the task better than most vice presidents. We must remember that he has served in the Senate of these United States, was majority leader, and a man of great tact and understanding, and there is no man probably that more proficiently knows how to work and how to develop and get things done as he did in the United States Senate. We also know that his acceptance for the vice presidency was not, my friends, the will of the majority of advisors around Mr. Kennedy, who did not like him and didn't want him in. Before they even moved in, there were those that opposed him. It was not the choice of Mr. Rust. He was not the friend of the Schlesinger gang. He's not the man they wanted for this job. However, they had to mend some fences, and the South would never have stood still unless they had some assurance that they had someone that came from their line. I do not agree with many of the positions that President Johnson has taken as vice president. But there is always this pressure upon a vice president to support the program of the executive because he's on the team. But I point out to you tonight that in this instance there may be changes, there may be reappointments, but I do not think that Mr. Johnson is going to go along with the program of disarming these United States. Let me point out to you that when we made a prophetic preview in 1960, we pointed out the strange mathematical pattern in numerics in which every president that came to office on a 0 year never lived out his term. This is true of every president that has died in office. I also pointed out in our preview then, and also in our preview for events of 1963, that there were certain things to remember in the basic United States chart. There are two things of importance. One, of course, that in the 4th of July, 1776, Mercury was rising. Mercury always has a very vital place to play, and Uranus also in the sign of Gemini, just above the ascendant, appears to rule the presidency. It has since 1840, and when Uranus is in transit and comes to square or conjunction with natal Uranus, there's always been a serious blow to the presidency. Now, we call to your attention these facts, and we called out the astrological measures. We don't make them, we just called them. We said this is a dangerous time. Now let me point this out to you. The aspect which we see in measure, which occurs now and continues through 64 and even into 65, came to its height of impact November 22nd when Jupiter was in conjunction with Uranus. The time was 12:40, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, which was the exact time that the assassin delivered his fatal shot. He died at 11 a.m. In a Pacific Standard Time, which was the exact time in the square when Mercury squared Uranus at 1 p.m. I don't know how more closely measures could have indicated that this was a dangerous time for the president. Nor, my friends, if you were to check the message which was delivered at that time, which tape went out, it was a tape that just evaluated measure. That measure of destiny was fulfilled. It was not the responsibility of the measure. It was merely timing by that measure that this was a turbulent hour, and the forces of darkness that were in this function, Saturn influence, moved at that time. Again, as we point out the areas of danger that are involved, we point out that this is not all. For instance, even as this morning, we come into the pattern of, under this Uranus influence, The sun at about 1 o'clock was squaring. That is 1 o'clock in the positions of Eastern time. The sun was squaring the moon exactly. This square took place today. And it wouldn't have occurred any other period also within this month and under this time. So I said, I'm not interested in those measures. Well, maybe you're not interested in those measures, but when those measures occurred and were called to your attention a year ago and 4 years ago, you might as well become aware that the measures are significant. I point out now that the time of Jacob's trouble involves much trouble for America. It involves not only a strategy of disturbance, but your enemies, communism and those behind it, intend to do their best to now take the initiative, if they can, in these United States. In this instance, they would use the turbulence of this hour to accomplish this. How ironical then, that in the hour when they were going to utilize even this instant to destroy patriots and to move out against true Christians, that it turns out that a Marxist, a communist, one who stands for all that we are opposed to, slays the president. And then how ironical today, that out of the ghettos of Chicago comes a gangster type of Jew that moves in the areas of the underground and whose ownership of burlesque shows and strip shows marks his evidence of support inside of Dallas. A man known by the police as one who moves in these shady circles. And therefore, a ghetto Jew moves out to destroy the assassin. I think this is rather significant because when this man called Jack Ruby, who was actually Abe Rubenstein, this is what he was known in Chicago, and even the news tonight was talking about this ghetto-born Jew. In this instance, he silenced the man who alone could have talked. It's completely strange to the peoples of these United States that any police department would be so lax, that with a prisoner that should have been under maximum security, that someone could walk in so easily and assassinate this man in turn in front of the police and inside of the police department. It looks as though something's vitally wrong. For this is the second time we have watched this laxness in a few days. It seems rather strange that people could have used even the overpass above until they didn't know whether they might have been participant in it while the president was going down the road the other day. We feel that there are many dedicated law enforcement men in these United States. But we are also very sure tonight that a great number of them are dedicated to career under any kind of power, whether it be Marxist or socialist, whether you are free or whether you are the victim. So what makes you think so? Because I'm going to point out to you that this time of Jacob's trouble is not only a time of world communism with its conspiracy of entrapment against you and your nation, but it also happens to be a time of harassment against Christians and the children of God that dare to speak out. You say, what makes you think so? We turn over to the book of Matthew. And in this instance, Jesus talks about the fact that he sent his disciples out, rather to your race. And in this instance, as he sends them out, he warned them to beware. He said, I send you forth like sheep among wolves. I send you forth wise as serpents. But he tells you this, beware of it. For there are those that would deliver you to their councils and would like to disturb you in their synagogue. I don't think I have to identify who those people are. Most people don't have synagogues. I turn over in these signs of the times, in this hour of turbulence and trouble, in this hour of crises for this in all Christian nations. And the scripture again tells us that these are times of problem and times of struggle. And listen to what the scripture says. Behold, therefore, with the wars and the troubles and the rising of these nations and these kingdoms for war, with great earthquakes and signs and pestilence to the climax of this age, behold, these evil powers are going to try to lay hold on you. They're going to try to persecute you. They're going to try to deliver you to the magistrates and into the prisons, and they're going to try to deliver you into the hands of the synagogues. Again, I don't have to tell you who the synagogues belong to. I turn also in further declaration inside the book of Matthew And again, the warning comes as in the book of Matthew. He records the danger this time of Jacob's trouble when they shall seek to deliver you into prison for my name's sake. Ye shall be hated by these powers, and they shall try to deliver you and persecute you in the climax of the age. Now, I want to point out something to you that's rather strange. But in this instance, the design upon the part of advisors around the administration and great numbers of the administration were to wage all-out war against anybody that opposed to them and to their world sellout. We have had in our own congregations harassment from law enforcement officers that have called one after another of our congregations out for investigation, pulled them out of the plants they work, pulled them out of the areas where they made their living, or knocked at 10 and 11 o'clock at night at their doors to ask them first a question about something they knew nothing about, a fire Negro television shop. And then in this instance, to start on an exploring expedition concerning this church and what it stands for and all the congregations and peoples by the thousand and million that are with us across the nation. It isn't anybody's business what you believe. You stand for Christ and His kingdom. You believe in racial self-respect. You believe that God does not want integration and mongrelization. That's biblical. It's Old Testament and it's new. We don't hate Negroes. We don't hate anybody. But we are gravely concerned concerning a trend that's unbiblical, even in an hour when political forces moving inside of churches whose ministers are moving along with the world order instead of God's kingdom would advocate policies that are destructive. We point out to you that people are going this way by the thousands because it is true. No one has advocated the overthrow of governments. No one advocates the policy of destruction of individuals in high places. Though, my friends, when there are challenges to our survival and to our Constitution, it's the duty of citizens to impeach. I tell you tonight that the questions and the harassment were as to the arms that men owned, which is their constitutional right, as though they were designing to use weapons, many of which were for sport, many of which were for target practice, to overthrow a government that they loved a whole lot more dearly, apparently, than their inquisitors. And I tell you this tonight, in face of the problems that affect us, the rising promised violence of the Muhammad X movement, the recognition that a Negro revolution is underway, stirred by demagogues to help further the crises of a communist conspiracy and to bring in the intervention of the United Nations to crush the last rights of the white man. I tell you that every Christian American should be armed and ready to defend his house against the violence of this revolution. I think Switzerland has shown the world that an armed citizenry is one of the best defenses any country can have. I point out to you that in this hour of communist uprising, when they can strike down the President of the United States, they can also strike at any patriot. And that patriot, in his home, should be prepared to defend himself. I could produce man after man, pulled from their work, harassed about something they knew nothing about. Just as in the South, whole areas of trouble are created by the left-wing forces, created by NAACP and its followers, and then the harassment of patriots. This is going on here. The design, the word is out. You have probably the most powerful communications program in the United States. You are influencing more people than any single movement in these United States, now reaching people by the million. You have been proclaiming truth. You have been establishing it on biblical law. What you are advocating is Christian and Christian doctrine. It's the content of the Bible. And nobody can make a law abridging this or the right of the church to fulfill its prophetic ministry. We have supported law enforcement agencies across this nation under the turbulence of their problem in this time. We feel that we had a great police department in this city. We felt we had a great sheriff's department. We felt that here in the West, we had one of the finest areas of police administration. But apparently you can get inside of this and make it all work for left-wing communist kikes. You say, how do you know? Because I know who's pulling the strings. One of the things we're going to discover one of these days is that there is nothing that happens. Get this now. Get this as clear as you can get it. There is nothing that happens inside the areas of our opposition that we don't know about it. You say, what do you know? How do you know? This, my friends, is within our prerogative to keep secret. One of the finest Christian gentlemen I know, whose ranch has grown from a small ranch to a large one, whose thrift, whose ties, whose service to the church has been fine. Man who would be above any suspicion of anything that anybody in their right mind would consider illegal. Friday night, after the president's assassination, representatives of this sheriff's department called at his house after 10 o'clock at night, flashed their credentials, said, where have you been today? And this was the one day he hadn't been on the ranch, he'd been to Bakersfield. He wanted to know why and by what authority they had to investigate him. They said, the president has been shot today. This man's a right winger. He believes in the preservation of America. If Christ was here, he'd be on the side of the right, not on the left. And the same people that crucified him would be after him again. Finally, the Ogpu left. One of our associates, known to you, drove for us, worked with us for years, 200 miles away, on an entirely different type of operation. Still our friends, still associated with us. But listen, they harassed him for 8.5 hours the day before yesterday. It is none of the business of any agency how a man feels or what he thinks about great crucial issues when there is an order for harassment on. But I can assure you and anyone else, no one associated with us to our knowledge, no one connected with any of the great causes of Christian Americanism, plans revolution, or plans, my friends, by any measure, assassination or anything associated with it. Nor do we plan violence against buildings. And you investigators carry this back to your Ogpu tonight. You think with as much at stake, with as far-reaching a program, with as much that is behind us, that we would be connected or waste our time with a little television shop. Get this clear, we never knew the man existed until this thing started. But let me tell you this. Buildings can be replaced by insurance. And maybe if buildings are destroyed, they come out better than they did before. Nobody be foolish enough to move against buildings. I want you to know that this kind of harassment has been set up to probe and to investigate and to get behind the rights of citizens in an attempt designed to persecute the church, which will set America aflame. Suppose I tell you, some carloads of Federals came in last night to Lancaster. But behind the scene, my friends, is a lot more than they think we know. The design was an entrapment to try to get, and it's still going on, our people to get close to a spot where they are involved in a design to create great property loss. And I happen to know tonight that one of their targets is a synagogue, hoping to blame that on our people if they can entrap them out by phone and by call to get close to the spot. Hear this tonight. When you get back home, figure out how your plan has been blown. Continued harassment of this congregation because they think it's the time of Jacob's trouble and they're going to put any of the kingdom of God inside of the penitentiary or deliver to the synagogue. They've just made the wrong measure. This may transpire where we're outnumbered. This may transpire in nations that don't belong to the kingdom. But let me tell you something about this one. 145 million people in this country are white and Christian, and we're going to determine America's destiny. We're not only not going to be abused and we're not going to be pressured, but we're not worried tonight. We don't have a persecution complex. We're just as happy battling these forces as anything else we could be engaged in. One of these days, my friends, there'll be no synagogues in the United States because they'll be down someplace else. The scripture says that none of these forces, none of these Canaanites, none of these powers of Antichrist are going to be in Christian nations. That's right, get that pencil moving fast. That wasn't a threat, that's just what the Bible says. You want to know who Antichrist is? Then discover that those that deny that Jesus is the Christ, the same are Antichrist. Tie them in with communism, tie them in with warfare against Christianity. Get this straight, investigators, conspirators, and those that work against this. In this county, here in Los Angeles County, it was the Anti-Defamation League of the Knife Grip that tried to take all Christmas recognition away from our school children. No songs, no carols, no tableaus, no pageants, because they don't like Christ and Christianity. And I've got the Times, and I've got the Herald Express, and I've got their own newspapers to prove it. Hate? No, not hate. A pitiful sorrow for vipers that would destroy the great heritage of our society. But let me tell you this. We had to start pressure, awaken Christians to what was going on. And when Christians started to bring pressure down on your councils and on your schools, they reversed themselves right away and said, yes, we can have Christ in Christmas. You say there's nothing to fight about. That's worth all the resistance we've given it. And I believe this evil force would destroy their own synagogues in close complicity with federal officers that designed now to carry out the process. One man admitted during interrogations for the last few weeks that whether it was a communist government or a socialist government, he was still a law enforcement officer, and irrespective of what it became, he'd stay with the government. We do not wish to overthrow this government. We wish to sustain it. But if it becomes necessary, we would resist those who would destroy it. I point out to you now, and I want to call your attention all over the United States, every listener on all the tapes, throughout all denominations, throughout all the people, in all the patriotic groups and societies that will hear this address, from one end of the United States to the other, if you get a phone call and it asks you to meet some friend, or some friend apparently calls you, don't go there. Under any circumstances, don't go. Call your friend back and make sure the call came from your friend. Meet in your homes. Don't be drawn out to the areas where catastrophes are being prepared so they can frame Christians. Understand this now. Let's fight this federal conspiracy that moves out of the areas of some officers that, my friend, should not be in the position of authority. At this very moment, while the president's body lies in state, there are those already conspiring to overthrow America, either out of his naivety or out of his poor decision, or even in the midst of the shock of his sudden death. We are not going to be overcome by areas of emotion to stop thinking clearly. We were opposed then. We are opposed now to every plan tied in his new frontier that would dissolve the sovereignty of this nation, surrender our independence, or abridge the Declaration of Independence. It would be unwise for the forces of darkness to create any martyrs now. For upon such martyrdom would rise the greatest flame they have ever witnessed. I point out to you that it'd be well for all men to recognize that there are 145 million white Christians in the United States. I would also call to your attention that irrespective of the leadership in areas that have been neutralized and mutated as the responsibilities of their faith, that the great, growing, swelling strength of patriotic Americanism is just beginning. That we're over 51% and we're going strong. Now let me tell you that when the Church of Jesus Christ has finished its responsibility, it's going to be the strongest, most powerful force in these United States. And it will decide before it's through who and what and where the administration of this country shall be placed. Think clearly. If you love Christ and Christian civilization, vote Christian, buy Christian, build the economic and political life of a Christian America. Yes, a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Among the side agreements, the patterns of disarmament, your ability to retaliate with nuclear weapons in case of an invasion is already mutated for 90 days. How could you resist a nuclear assault or an assault by an enemy that even didn't use nuclear weapons, that was pouring across the ice of Bering Strait into Alaska? Even now they're trying to neutralize half of Alaska for anybody to move in, by the way. And it's your property. Suppose they should move into Alaska, North America. We already have had in our possession the primer, translated into Chinese, that for Chinese communists to know every herb, every blade of grass, everything eatable in North America, to acquaint themselves so they can march on their belly, on the ground, on the land, and live off of it. Now you know and I know that if they had no design of ever moving hordes of these people against North America, they wouldn't have to give them a botany lesson on what they can eat when they get here. Things you wouldn't think of eating while they eat every blade of grass in their country. Suppose such an attack came across the ice and your tactical designs are altered. And in these instances, you had not used nuclear weapons without the permission of the United Nations, and you have to wait a given period of time, but your enemy doesn't work this way. Even at this very moment, the design to crush and destroy the peoples of Western Europe, or to grind them under their heel, is still a Soviet objective. They mend their fences day to day with Red China, saying, our plan has not changed. In the Soviet military strategy, translated by Rand and company at the expense of our government, whose secret service acquired the volume in Russian, their strategy is to deceive us, get us to disarm, appear our friend, and then move suddenly against us when we have disarmed ourselves, using the strategies of encirclement, creating the perimeter wars, and then moving against Fortress America, no longer a fortress reduced by our keeping our agreements. And then we go along with the same strategy and the same design and call for just a little bit more. I wanted to show you something rather unique about this tragedy. In the midst of this sudden tragedy, when the life of our president was snuffed out by the bullet from a sniper assassin's rifle, immediately all over the pressure areas, as they had planned at Ann Arbor, Michigan, not necessarily for this crisis, but any conditions, started out. America should be disarmed. No one should be permitted to have a rifle or a pistol or a gun, because if everybody was disarmed, this could not have happened. Let me tell you something. The only people that you disarm under instances of legislation like this are law-abiding people that just accept any such decision. But the communists would have arms. They'd come in from Mexico. They'd come in by submarine on our shores. Assassins would not be without weapons. Only the patriot would be disarmed. This is always the strategy in every country as it falls for dictatorship. Disarm the citizenry first. Tonight, brainwashed clergy are calling for total disarmament. This is a part of the arms control plan already released that they intended to start after election on 5 states and then spread it through the country. But law enforcement officers don't know that in this plan it also called for the disarmament of law enforcement officers and the establishment now of a military police by selected manpower taken out from armed services and put under United Nations control. Yes? The scripture said they would make war with the saints.
The saints are the believing offspring of the Most High God. They're the children of the kingdom. They are Christians and Christians alert.
You are in the time of Jacob's trouble. All of these objectives are spurred on. A president is assassinated. They call for disarmament of citizenry. They move out to attack all the right wing. And now they, in the face of having caught the assassin, in the fact that a Jew assassinated the assassin to shut his mouth, they now still want to go out after the right wing. Tonight they reannounce that though the case is closed concerning the assassination of the president and who did it, no, federal officer said it's not closed, we're going to still pursue this investigation. And they plan on harassing the right wing right down the line. They better start learning who the communists are, and they better get on this job before they find a new job. You cannot extricate communism and its massive plots from the massive total design of communism and those that are behind it. If ever America was faced with a challenge, it's this nation. And if President Johnson wants to accomplish a purpose of great leadership, he'll crush Castro's Cuba and set those people free and do it now. These are hours of bereavement in which everyone feels the strange anxiety and the pressures that rest upon the president's wife, who with courage has borne up throughout this entire pattern before the nation on television screens under all types of trying circumstances. From the hour she cradled her dying husband's head in her arms until this hour that she stood and listened to the speeches that were delivered as they eulogized him. And we understand that this woman must be suffering within as she suddenly sees this thing transpire to the man that she admired and adored. But listen, she received a telegram of condolence today from Madame New, who has also just gone through this kind of experience but received no word from the Kennedys, whose husband is dead because of the failures of this administration. So I point this out to you in this hour. Tomorrow a nation mourns an act of tragedy, the passing of a president. To those who followed and were brainwashed into a world government program, the surrender of sovereignty, these objectives were great, especially those that were enhanced by political appointment. And others because of party devotion, and others because of loyalty to the fact that he was the president. And a great mass of military honor doing because he was a commander in the Navy. But remember that in all of these things, we do not today impugn his courage. We do not say that he was not a man of courage and a man of determination in such things as he was guided to believe. But do not think that this is a blanket approval of these areas of error so deadly and dangerous to the histories of these United States. It is a tragic thing, a very tragic thing, that in this 20th century, this could happen in the United States. The answer, deadly communism, spawn, growing, moving in your midst. So in this instance, there are those that would turn off all opposition. They say we must now suddenly all close ranks. We must all start loving everybody. Let's start loving now the communists. Let's start loving evil. Let's start going along with everything that's not good just because this man died. They said he gave his blood for this cause. He didn't do this by intent. This was by the work of an assassin. He may have expended his energies for objectives with which we do not agree, but because he died, we're not going to accept those objectives. I call for Christian Americans everywhere to pray as they have never prayed before for the new president of the United States. Pray that he be guided wisely to preserve this republic. Pray that he be guided wisely to direct an immediate investigation of every communist in these United States, to limit their power, to break their conspiracy. I pray that under his influence that new trends shall develop, that states and their state rights shall remain untampered with by the federal government. I hope that he makes new pledges and makes new agreements with the South and with the North. I hope that he learns to preserve the racial self-respect of God-ordained law with kind begetting like kind, which he told you. We reserve all prognostications concerning this administration till this president has had time to act. We pray for his success. We pray for America in this hour of great crises. And we pray that each one of you will join with us in binding the darkness and calling for judgment to move upon every malignant force that seeks to destroy the church or harass its people. We pray that they either stop or that the judgments of God move with speed. Now, we know some prophetic facts about this hour. We know of promises that God makes to his ministers. We know what the scripture says about this situation. We know about the restoration of Elijah power upon those that believe his word and will do his will. He said, not only will this be a time of Jacob's trouble such as there's never been, but he shall be saved out of it. I believe in the staying power. I believe in the keeping power and the striking power of the Most High God. I believe in Michael's ability to step in. I believe in the death angel that hit in Egypt, that's promised to stand by the house of God, to strike if necessary, and strike and strike. And not one of you would have to lift a finger because this is within the hand of God. I'm going to tell you this tonight, that in all the areas of history, this is the most turbulent. Make no mistake about it. Communism is going to thrust the world, projected suddenly, into world war. That is Armageddon. It is already starting. We are going to win this battle. We are going to witness the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. We're going to see the establishment of the authority of this kingdom and of Christ upon and before the earth forever. Someone said, what is the program? The program is tell it, tell it, tell it. Proclaim every word that came out of the mouth of God. Make clearly the responsibility of the household. And then recognize that you are the children of the Father who placed your race in the earth to lead the world in the greatest area of spiritual vision, technological development, and freedom from superstition the world has ever known. Such progress was made and was advancing under white Christian leadership. Under world government and its conspiracy, the white man is being driven out of the four corners of the earth, and everywhere that he's driven out, communism, chaos, and trouble follows. Watch the 14th of December when Kenyatta takes over in Kenya colony and the Mau Maus plan a bloodbath of white leadership. Watch and see if this isn't right. Look at its measure. Look at the Saturn measure that comes in, 14th of December. Let me point this out to you. We don't hate Africa. We have been expending as a race out of our very nations millions upon millions to try to develop it. We don't hate Africa. We don't hate Asia. But we are the children of the kingdom and will not permit our destinies to be controlled by these people who are not your equals, can never be your equals under the instance of their darkness and their superstition. And I want you to remember as you go out of here tonight, that if they were your equals, then Africa would be great budding civilizations, great cities, great culture equivalent to yours. Thousands upon thousands of years ago, they were burying Negroes in Africa, and they never made a wheel. They never developed any civilization or any culture, even in the face of the fact that Assyrians thousands of years ago had them, Egyptians had them, Israelites had them, but they never made it. And I point out to you that the world of Asia doesn't even understand how to feed itself. And yet a white man with white civilization could make even Asia bountiful with food. We don't begrudge, but we are now willing to surrender Christian leadership and the vision which God has given us to the savage, to the idol worshiper, and to the areas of the darkness. And we intend to remain free. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. Lift your eyes unto the Father. Bind the darkness. Stand up as a Christian American. Close ranks and march to victory. Then you can be assured of the end, because God said, I will see that you are delivered and that you are elevated to authority, that you shall rule with me in the earth throughout the ages to come. The cross is not going out. And if there's any one satisfaction that can be taken by Christians, even in this hour of ceremony, that over that flag, great casket, there is a cross. They may have tried to knock it out of every area of our life. They may have tried to knock it out of the area of prayer. They may have said we couldn't pray in schools. They may have tried to destroy our Christian faith. The same hands that tried to destroy in this community our right to recognize Christmas, but they can't take the cross off of that casket this week. Then let me add this thought to you tonight as Christians. Irrespective of all the error, to all the things that in political policy we might be opposed to, yet do we know that the grace of God, by and through that cross, reaches down into the ultimate fulfillment of time to establish the fact that the men of the household of the race and the faith shall stand justified before the Father by the thing that he did on Calvary's cross. You may have been as political opponent as I am opponent to the policies of error that I feel he was a part of. But I am not opponent to the man or his soul, which I have faith to believe by his faith also in that cross of Christ shall stand someday justified as possibly a casualty in his time in this great struggle for the minds of men, but sometime justified with you, every member of our race, every soldier of our race, every last individual shall stand up to fulfill his destiny and shall know the mighty power of resurrection that declares that you cannot defeat a son and daughter of God. I want to make the following announcements. There will be no Wednesday night Bible class in Lancaster. People gathering from all over the Pacific Coast areas have gathered for intense Bible studies on Wednesday night for the Ogfu that's here that went out and said there must be a conspiracy or a clan or something else meeting on Wednesday night, that people don't come in these numbers to a Bible study. I'll now clue you. These numbers, these car numbers you've been taken down, are Christians coming to Bible study on Wednesday night in Lancaster. And they don't know what gay shotgun I use to hunt ducks with either, so don't bother them. Now listen to this. There'll be no Bible study this Wednesday night because it's in close proximity to Thanksgiving, and many people will be traveling and moving this week. We will be speaking in our schedule on Friday night, covering the blueprint of world events that relate to biblical prophecy. We'll be in this auditorium. Let's see it filled. This week's going to be fraught with a lot of developments, a lot of facts, things you need to know, and facts that relate to history, prophecy, and your time. The church's position on these news is important to you. Let's see this place filled next Friday night. Next Sunday afternoon, we're speaking on the subject, the greatest truth. Now, don't miss next Sunday night's subject. For in this, we not only answer Robert Welch's book, The Neutralizers, but we're going to talk next Sunday night on the true neutralizers and what is the greatest danger to Christian civilization to neutralize it from preserving itself. You come out as we talk about true neutralizers. This place will be packed next Sunday night. Come early to get a seat. Don't miss this subject, because it is the answer to one of the greatest strategies of our time to do nothing. As we take your tithes and offerings tonight, let's get this clear. 1,000 tapes will roll out and more. Multitudes of sets of basic tapes are going out everywhere for educational purposes. These tapes and these Christian tapes move out to not only almost every denomination that has many churches, patriots, patriotic organizations, everywhere where people are interested in what the Bible has to say. More than that, now, you already have 2.5 million listeners. You have tape circuits. There's over 75,000 tape plays that will be scheduled this week. Last week's tapes are still circulating. More tapes are still going. Tapes will go to Australia. Tapes will go to South Africa. Tapes will go to Europe. And in Zurich, Switzerland, they'll be translated into many languages, but they'll go out. We need your tithes and offerings. Obviously, it would be impossible to do this without your gifts to accomplish this. If you want to see it work, you can just come and see it. You can watch the wheels turn. You can see people wrapping tapes. You can see them sent out all over the nation. I want you to know tonight that this is a program of missionary activity where you can see everywhere your dollar goes, see where every dollar is spent, see how it reaches people, watch it move. So tonight we urge you with your tithes and offerings to hold up our hands. Do not forget every day XERB, 1090 on the dial, 915 every morning, the Voice of Truth. Soon we will be giving you the new programming which is coming over the most powerful network of radio stations in the United States. We are going in a very few days to announce this. Nothing prematurely till contracts are consummated, time is released, and then we're going to tell you where you can listen to a 1.5 hour of broadcasts as they go forth, and we'll increase and multiply these until we reach America with Thus Saith the Lord. Tonight we need your tithes and offerings. They meet auditorium rent. They meet staff expenses. But basically, your money goes in the great majority of your investment and everything that you earmark for it to the TAPE missionary program. Tonight, as we receive your tithes and offerings, let God guide you in your giving. As you join ranks with us, praying together for the defeat of the enemy, praying for the lifting of harassment or for the judgment of God. Praying now for the spread of truth, and calling for people to close ranks. We tell all the listeners across America that we very vitally need your contribution. Many people are unable to support in any great way. Some ride and spend their time spreading to others. This we appreciate. But we urge everybody that can increase or to multiply can meet this need. We have vital need now. We must increase. We have greater demand now this week than we have ever had before to spread and get tape out. Help us across the nation. Almighty and eternal Father, we invoke thy blessing to rest tonight upon this congregation. Bless this offering. Multiply this offering to carry forward the great gospel of thy kingdom and the mighty work of thy Christian church. In thy name we ask it. Amen. Several announcements as we close. If interrogators of any branch, of any service, want to interrogate you, Make them interrogate you in your own home. And then do not permit, if you even wish to answer their questions, any more of them to interrogate you than you have witnesses of your own. Don't be in position to be framed. Also, my friends, if they place you under arrest, false arrest, or arrest by suspicion, do not answer any questions until you have an attorney or until you have contacted Christian American staffs. You have the same right to take as a right Christian American the Fifth Amendment until you possess the proper attorneys and advice, because conspiracy, the design to wage war against Christian Americans and harassment, is going to be met face on by resolute Christians all over America, and we'll be joined by them by the thousands, as already the letters of indignation and the assurity of strength is coming in. So remember this. You are an American citizen. You cannot be harassed unless you permit this thing to take place. Do not let yourselves be framed in order to advance a left-wing cause. Shall we stand? Almighty and eternal Father,